Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this getaway Friday, February the 19th, 2021, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. And this is going to be an interesting hour because we have a person I've come to know over the last 5 years, 6 years now, quite well, has become a good friend. And let's just put this in context. On March the 4th, 1921, President Harding, who we certainly know a lot about here in Marion, was inaugurated President of the United States. March the 4th, 1921. The 100th anniversary of that will be coming up very soon, in just a few short weeks. So what better guest to have on to give us updates as to what he's been up to for the next hour is a good guy. He is the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Jim, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Good to talk with you. Jim, when you hear about March 4th, 1921, the 100th anniversary of your grandfather's inauguration coming up, what's it make you think about?
It makes me proud. It makes me think about him and what he did in his time in office, and it just brings back all kinds of memories for me. And it's 100 years. That's the kicker right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, never having met the man, when you describe your grandfather to somebody, how do you do it?
I just tell him what I know. You know, we've talked about this before. I'm him. I've lived his life. This is something that I want to talk about at one time, but I know everything my grandfather and my grandmother went through, how they felt, everything. And I have a really keen insight on all of this, and I understand him completely. I'm him. I'm a product of my father, my grandfather's. I have a little piece from every one of them, and I understand what he was trying to do and who he was, and I even have a better understanding because of my grandmother and growing up with her. And all she talked about was him, and she always told us what he was like, and she'd always told me that I reminded her of him, and all the things. That's all she talked about. She just raved about him all the time, and how he cared about people, and excuse me, and what he wanted to accomplish and do, and I feel proud. I feel that he deserves much more credit than he's gotten, and I kind of tell the story. It's kind of amazing to me that people I talk to, I actually just talked to someone the other day that I thought would have known more, and people just don't know much when you get outside of probably Marion, you know, but you talk to people that think they would know about him and the story, and so many people don't know. And they don't even know things that he did and accomplished and what he tried to put forth. And they're just, it's just not there. They just don't connect with it.
You know, it's interesting, so, Jim, because being here in Marion, Ohio, I am kind of always shocked that more people have not visited the Harding home, which is here. Now, most people know where the memorial is because that's on a very busy street and it's hard to miss. So most people have been to the memorial, but I've always said that I bet half the people in Marion, maybe even greater numbers than that, have never been to the Harding home. It's a very strange thing. I don't know if it's 100 years. I don't know what that is, but really, I think you're right that he does not, most people don't know a lot about him, even here in Marion.
No, and you know, it's weird because he's my grandfather, and I've read so many articles from back then and after him, and you read them and you get this kind of, I get this feeling, you know, everyone was always trying to, which we see now, but everybody is trying to defeat him, knock him down, and make him look like, you know, they talk about him like he was a boob, a bumbling fool, and all this stuff. And he's a guy that accomplished a lot, had his own business, good business, president, senator, all this stuff, governor. I mean, he accomplished a lot, and I'm just shocked because there's not a lot of people that do that. And he started out at 19 and borrowed a few bucks and got himself into a business, and he did well for himself. So for a guy that's such a boob, he sure accomplished a lot. I get kind of a kick out of that because they try to make it out like he had done nothing in his time. And it's just kind of, and he deserves a lot of credit, a lot of credit, especially now because we found out so many other things that are coming to light that were never, nobody paid attention to before. But there is also, with the House and stuff, I think there needs to be more draw to that. And that's one of the things about him having a daughter. I think that changes the whole perspective on him. It makes him a man. It makes him a father. It changes everything about him. He wasn't just a politician and a cold source. He was someone that actually had a daughter, and I think that's a big draw.
You know, a lot of interesting perspective is given to former First Lady Florence Harding. She was obviously with him on this entire journey from the Marion Star to state office to senator to president. How much, because I know you've read a lot, how much of a part do you think she played in his success? Because he gave her a lot of credit in a lot of places.
Right. Well, you know, this is the hard one for me because I know, and you know, I we've talked about this before. I became friends with Peter. That's how I found all this out. You know, I became friends with him to do the test and do the whole thing on the DNA. And I know everything. I know everything about the Hardings. And you know, I know things about her now that I would have never known, and other people probably don't know, and a bunch of different things. And there's things about her that, you know, disturb me, but I get a bigger kick out of it because I'm him. I mean, I am like him, and my drive, everything is like him. And I think about this, and I realize that when you read stuff, they make it out like she created him and she did this for him and she pushed him into this and she did this, and she did kind of push him in, because my grandmother had told me that he did not, it wasn't his drive to become president, and he was kind of pushed. I mean, he wanted to do it, but it wasn't real important to him. And I think about this, and they give her all the credit for everything. They give her credit for everything and how she controlled him. Well, you know, I was married. Nobody controls me. They may think that they are controlling me, but they're not. You know, I'm not that way, and I'm sure he wasn't that way either. And he just kind of easy going like me, and just, you know, enjoying life and trying to. And I think that he allowed her to feel that she was doing this, and kind of letting her push him around, and she did kind of push him around. But I don't think she deserves half the credit she gets. And I do know people that have written books about her, and they talk about like she was everything, and I don't get that picture at all. So,
you know, Jim, obviously having talked to your grandmother about this, we know because of documents that most likely Florence Harding did know that President Harding was having extracurricular activities with Carrie Phillips.
Right.
But there's never a document to pinpoint that she knew what was going on between your grandmother and Harding. What did your grandmother say about? Did she know?
Oh, yeah, she knew. This ties to everything that I'm trying to get accomplished here. And if I can veer up a little bit, I'll tell you my story of what happened with this, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
I'm just going to be honest with you of what happened with the lawsuit for this, for removing him and getting some evidence from him. And it started out as Peter had met these people, and they met with him first, and then Peter called me and said, they want to come down and see you or come up and see you. I'm in Oregon. He's in California. And I said, fine. And it was a movie company, and they wanted to do the documentary and whatever. So I said, fine, I'm always, that's my dream. My dream is to do exactly what you're talking about. Get him out there, get more credit for him, get him recognized for what he accomplished and did, and for his whole story, and my grandmother's story. I want their story out there. I want people to understand the relationship they had, because this wasn't just this wasn't something that people think this was a fling and things like this. They spent a lot of time together. And they even lived together for short periods and did a lot of stuff together. You know, my brother's got things that he had won for her at carnivals and bought her presents and certain things that he did for her. They spent a lot of time together. But, you know, when you think of this, an affair and things like this, you just think it's a little fling and you meet and that and that's it. And, you know, but that's not what it was. It was beyond that. And that's the other thing that brings his wife into this. He had a bad relationship with his wife. She was not energized like he was, just if you understand what I'm saying. And she just had a whole different outlook on that type of the life. And he wasn't. We won't even go into that. But he was a man. And he was not getting what he should have been getting from home, I think. And that's where this all started off with. And when they had hooked up with them, they came to me and asked me if I wanted to do a story and I'd be willing to do this. And we talked about this, and they asked me what I thought about his death. And I told them how I felt. I feel that there's a good chance that it was other than natural causes, and I would like to know what the final story was. So they offered this to me. And they said, we'll do the documentary and things, but we would like to do this and answer that. That's the last question. If you and I have talked about this, of all the questions, that's the last one that hasn't been answered. And so this is a big thing to me, because when I look at this, I see it in a whole different light. I see this as what happened after he died, you know, her burning all the papers, not allowing an autopsy. Why would you do that? And trying to get rid of any kind of evidence that was out there or anything, trying to find it and burn it and get rid of it. It just seems to me that there's something really odd here. And my grandmother constantly told me this. I told you this quite a few times, I think, that she told me many times that his big concern was her poisoning him or doing something to him when she found out or whatever. And that was a big concern. My grandmother talked about that all the time. She left here talking about him and the concern she had that something had happened. And so that's kind of how I got into that whole story with them. And that was part of the deal, was to put this together. And my whole thing is to do the documentary about my grandmother and her. I want them to have the recognition. I want her to be recognized as the part she played in his life and the love she had for him, and vice versa. And I want the story told, because it's a wonderful story. I mean, it involves so much. So that's how I got tied into that. And so that's what I thought I could get done with that. And then this happened before. But like I said, I've lived his life. And I lived everything that he has lived with my grandmother. And the one thing I haven't lived in his life, or I hadn't until now, is when he was betrayed by his friends. And now, because of Peter Harding, I've lived that. Now I realize how he felt and what it felt like for him to Peter betrayed me. And now I understand exactly what he went through his whole process of this.
Jim, I just want to clarify something here for the listening audience, because a lot was made all around the world of this idea to exhume the body of your grandfather, which right. You had wanted to do, and Judge Fregali here in Marion decided that that was not going to happen. Now, right. Was this about, because I'm trying to, was the body exhumation about you confirming that you're the grandson, or to see if he was killed?
Okay, the original, the main thing was for me is to prove. I have said this since the beginning, direct proof with him. I want this. All I hear in the background, it's constantly echoing, is from the Harding side, you know, don't believe this story. Don't believe the DNA hook, line, and sinker. Maybe it could have been his brother and blah, blah. This is still out there. And I'll say this, I had a meeting, my first meeting with the Historical Society, and I told them the same thing. If you had found your cousin, and everybody wants more family, everybody loves to have family, if you found a cousin that was a part of your family that had this whole other family, wouldn't you at least make contact with them or do something? And nothing. And this answers every question anyone could have about this and about the Hardings. That not a word, nothing. I did a DNA test and went public in the New York Times, a sweeping story that was unbelievable, and not a word, nothing, not, hey, congratulations, welcome, you know, a hug, nothing. They just ignored me. Now, the other side of the Hardings were wonderful. We had our get-together. We had spent 2-3 days together. It was wonderful. They were great people. But the other side that lives off of Harding, nothing from them. But the side that's just living their lives, they welcomed me with open arms, and it was just a difference of night and day. So this is my whole thing with doing this. That this started out, and this is what I was trying to explain about the story, is that this is what it was about. For me, it was about, and this was kind of the deal we made, is that I want to do this. I want to do it. I was going to do a brand new DNA test and do everything to match with him 100%. That's what I want, because then there's no doubt in anyone's mind. And no one can talk story and talk trash. They just have to accept it for what it is. But part of the deal was that they would do that, and when they went in there to do that, we would pull and have it tested to see if he had poison in his system. And that's what the deal was I made with them, is that I'm fine with that because that's something I want to do. I had promised myself and other people that this was what I was going to do. I was going to answer all the questions. And that's the only remaining question, is his death. And to me, I don't understand this, and I even told them at the resorts, I said this, I think, on the last show, I'm kind of shocked that they would not step up and back me up on this. Their job is to talk history and explain this to everyone and show the truth. And I'm just kind of shocked that they wouldn't step up and step up to the plate with me and back this thing. So that's where the story was. And then Peter stepped in, and it's funny because Peter, with the betrayal, he was part of this. He started this whole process with them and kind of pushed me into doing it. And it for him, I realize now that this was more about him than it was about me. You know, I mean, for months and year plus, we talked about this. He'd call me all the time, but it was always about getting the studios to do something for him, do something at his house, pay for this, pay for that, pay for this. And I realized after a while that this is what it was about. I remember telling him, Peter, this is about me telling the story. This is what we've talked about for 5-6 years, to get this story on TV, get it out there and let people understand. But he was more interested in what he was getting out of this, and that's not what this was about.
Now, just to clarify, Jim, because I want you to keep going here, but I want to clarify for the audience. Now, the Peter Harding group is the California Harding and
right,
Hardings,
right.
And the group that you feel has cold-shouldered you, that's the Ohio Hardings.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's the Warren and George and, you know, Richard and stuff. Now, and to be honest, I've said this told a bunch of times, so I'm not neglecting it, but Richard did come see me. He called me and came to see me. But when we had our meeting, he flew. He was coming here for a wedding, and he said, I'd like to meet with you. So we went and met for a restaurant. We spent 2-3 hours together, and it's interesting because I told him he looks like my older brother. But and which Peter had told me. Peter told me all about him before I had the meeting and told me, be careful, watch this, they're coming here for a reason. And he was right. I mean, Peter has always told me about that side of the family. I know all the stories about the Hardings. And he had kind of warned me, and it's going to be about something. And it was. It was not here. He wasn't here to say, hey, congratulations, thanks, it's great meeting you, and, you know, anything. It was about trying to talk me out of doing it. And to not go out and don't trumpet this was the big phrase. Don't trumpet this. Don't make this a big deal, you know. And he's, you know, we're trying to get Harding's word out. Well, what better way to bring it out is to say that he's a father. Anyone in your audience that's listening to this that has a daughter knows exactly what I'm talking about. President Harding had a daughter. There's nothing like that. Well, if you have a son, there is, David. But you know what I mean? There's a bond with a father and a daughter. I have a daughter, and she's everything to me. I mean, I'm behind her all the time. I get disappointed in her sometimes, but it doesn't matter. I have a daughter. It was the greatest thing in my life. You know, being president is a great thing, but having a kid like that is, there's nothing better than that, to be there and just to have a daughter, and that's what he wanted. And I think that was really his demise. You know, Peter and I used to talk about it. He really died of a broken heart because he didn't ever see his daughter, and he wanted to so bad, but he was in this rock and a hard place and what would happen. And I completely understand how he felt about this and how torn he was. And that's why I think that there was something more going on. And I had talked to you about the will and stuff too. I'm in the process of starting to check stuff out. I'm gonna try to get as far as I can, and I'm trying to get some people that are interested, and I would love to start looking into some of this stuff because some of it just doesn't make sense.
Tell us about your concern with the will, President Harding's will.
Well, the will comes out, and it proves. See, and this is another thing. You know, Peter. I'm kind of shocked about Peter. I am not, because I saw it coming, because it was starting to get more and more. I want this. They can pay for this for me. They can get me this. They can get me that. And so this is the guy that wanted all this to happen, and I know why now that he did what he did, because he felt that he was falling behind, and there was someone else in the family that I wanted to take with me when we did this, and he did not want him to go, and I think that really is what started this, because he felt that maybe, you know, it wasn't going to be all about him and stuff. That's just my opinion, but that's what kind of happened. But it just kind of weird. And then the will, there's money. We talked about this last time. There's money in there that went to his father, and it was an account. An account with $50,000 in it. It was for stocks and bonds and stuff, and it was paid out in a yearly amount, which makes sense to me, because he had promised my grandmother $50,000 to raise my daughter, to help raise her if anything happened. And even when I had read the will to Peter, that was the first thing. He got quiet for a minute and he said, "That's really odd." That's the first thing he came up with, is giving your dad $50,000. That's what he promised your mom. And I kind of think that it was probably put in there with the thought that if something got bad and he got sick and was in a hospital or something, that he would change it right before that. Because like you talked about earlier, and you asked the question about, was there any type of things about my grandmother and knowing that she was being watched and everything. My grandmother's home was broken into quite a few times. They moved quite a bit. And she had someone, Gaston Means or something like that, that guy, they had broken in. She found stuff missing. They would come home and see that their place had been ransacked and there'd be stuff missing from it. And they were looking for evidence to tie her to my grandfather. And so, and she knew this. So that's one of the main reasons that she had my mother adopted by her sister, to get her out of the way in the beginning so that she was safe somewhere, not with her, because she worried about her.
Now, Jim, now that we know what Judge Fregali's ruling was late last year, that the body not be exhumed, has there been any more talk between you and the producers, or any talk to your lawyers at this point? Is there anything moving with that?
No, I'm kind of going out on my own, trying to figure out how I want to go about this and whatever, but I'm not going to give it up. I'm looking for someone that would be willing to do it, because I think it would be great. It needs to be done. What happens, see, it just irritates me to no end, because we've seen this, and actually your caller before this was talking about the same exact thing that I talked about on your last show. We've got judges that are stepping out of their bounds, and they're thinking they have power and control of stuff that has nothing to do with this. This has nothing to do with him. His job, in my opinion, his job as the probate court is to make sure things are right and that it's okay and that you do the right thing for the family and do the thing and make sure everything's done right and whatever. Well, everything would have been done right, and I am the family. Hardings are not the family. I'm the family. And those are the George Hardings and the Warren Hardings, but they're not. We're the Warren G. Harding family. And we have no attachment to them at all. We want no attachment to them at all. We have no interest in them at all. And these are the people that have lived off my grandfather, his name and his money, since day one. And that's not what we're about. We don't care about that. We want the story out. We want the truth out. And that's the whole thing, the truth. This is what my grandmother lived by, was the truth. And so we want to do that. But when he did this, he just overstepped his bounds. He had, first of all, I didn't even get the chance to appear in court. I didn't get to state my story. I didn't get to do anything. I didn't get my day in court. And everybody's hiding behind the COVID. And the problem is he should have just set this aside until COVID was gone and I had my opportunity to come in front of the judge and in front of people and tell my story. He didn't want me to come and tell my story because if I had told my story, people would probably realize there's nothing wrong with this. This should be done. This was a president of the United States of America that died and no one knows why and how. And it's just mind-boggling to me that books have been written about him, how he died and how odd it was, and was he poisoned, and the chances are good that he was poisoned. There's been books written, and no one's done anything about this. No one's looked at this or anything. I'm just shocked that no one, and then he puts in his statement that it wouldn't matter to the people. It wouldn't help the people. Yeah, it would. Everyone would like to know if they had a president that was murdered. Wouldn't you be concerned about that?
Well, it does bring up a lot of questions. Now, Jim, something, for the longest time, because I think this plays into what you're talking about now, for the longest time, one of the reasons that people did not believe your grandmother's statements and her book that she had had this affair or relationship with President Harding or a child was because there was no, the letters were gone. Carrie Phillips kept the letters for whatever reason, but
to blackmail him.
Yeah. So, have you ever found or did you ever know of anything in your grandma's time that would connect? I mean, obviously, we don't need the DNA did that, but in her time, did she keep any letters? Did she have anything?
I don't know. You know, it's a weird story, but. When my mother died, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I moved my mom in with me the last few years of her life. And I took care of her, completely took care of her. My son and I actually took care of her. And everything, you know, getting bathing and dressing, everything. She started to get dementia and whatever. But she was still active and told me stuff. But through that, what happened was I had all of her stuff, my grandmother's stuff, with my mom and everything. And I went through a really hard time with my mom, especially after taking care of her. You know, our bond just grew stronger. I was really close with my mom and my grandmother. And when she died, it really took a toll on me. And I had closed her bedroom door, and I just didn't go back for months. I just couldn't deal with it. I just left it alone. And I went up there, and then one day I thought, you know, it's time to grow up. And I went up, and I took a trash can up with me and just started throwing stuff away. And it's possible that I may have, because she had, my grandmother had like 15, 20 manuscripts that she had written trying to get turned into books and stuff. And I may have thrown some stuff away. But with that question of asking if she had any proof, when I met the other Hardings, almost all of them, because we went to dinner a bunch of times and hung out and went places and hung out and talked, and they all told me, all the women especially, had told me that they always knew, everyone in the family always knew that that was his daughter, and they were not allowed to say anything, and they never were allowed to talk about it. And like Peter said, he's gone public with it. He wasn't allowed to read the book. He waited till his dad died to read the book, and his dad told him the book was all full of lies and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then he realized that when he went to get the book, it had never been opened.
Your grandmother's book.
Yes.
Yeah. You know something interesting, Jim, is that when this is all going on, did your grandmother ever say why she didn't keep the letters? I mean, yes. I'm not saying she... Why didn't she keep them?
Well, here's the thing that she kind of hinted around to it, and because my grandmother's this way, and she would never lie for anything. And he had asked her not to keep the letters. He said, these could be dangerous for me, especially with his wife or whatever if it came out. And so he just said, could you please not... And this is what I talk about with Carrie Phillips and my grandmother. This is the difference, the distinguishing difference in them. My grandmother loved him. This was a true love between them, and she loved him to the day she died. That's all she talked about was him. You couldn't go anywhere with him. I used to tell story. My mom used to get mad because they used to get on a bus when my mom was growing up when they were younger, and she said they couldn't go two blocks before everybody on the bus knew who they were, because my grandmother would talk to everyone and would tell the story, and my mom didn't like that because that was dangerous for them, but she was proud of who she was, and she always did this. But the reason is that she loved him and honored him, and she did what was right for him, as Carrie Phillips did what was right for her. She had planned on this. You know, she was being investigated. They thought she was a spy, which she probably was, and she tried to talk him out of the war and trying to get him to vote against the war and do things, and he didn't listen to it. And that's one of the things I read, a really good article on him, is talks about him as a person and his moral values and stuff. And they said, here's a lady that he's having an affair with, and she's pushing him and pushing him. And in the letters, you see that he told her, don't be like this. They're watching you. You need to stop. I'm not going to do this. And she kept threatening him that she was going to stop and go public and do all this. And he still did not vote for the war. He did what he knew was right and the right thing to do for the country. And that's the difference. And see, my grandmother would never do that to him. So that shows the difference of those two relationships. Hers was, Carrie's was more of a, you know, setting him up and spending time in using him. And my grandmother was in love with him, and they had a loving relationship and trusted each other. That's why she didn't do anything to hurt him. So, you know, that's how she, go ahead.
Well, no, it's interesting because when this is all going on, and it's hard to piece all this together, because when he was running for president, your grandfather, Warren G. Harding, Carrie Phillips and her husband all of a sudden were sent on a trip around the world.
Right.
To be around. So your grandmother obviously was in the picture, we believe, at this particular time as well. Did anybody ever approach her with anything like this when he was running for office?
To go? No. Because they didn't have to. I've lived this. That's all I can tell you, Scott, is I lived this life. And I know exactly how they felt, both of them. I know why he felt the way he felt about my grandmother, everything. I know it all. And I just understand it completely. And after talking to my grandmother, it all comes to light. But they had a very close relationship. They were in love. And he was constantly promising her he was going to leave. And he wanted to leave. He wanted to have a life. He wanted to have a life with his daughter. And that's the other thing. I mean, if you want to tie all this together, he was the president of the United States, had all the power in the world and did all this, and he found out that the lady he was having an affair with and in love with was going to have a baby, his baby. And he could have done anything in his power to stop it, and he didn't. He asked her if she would like to get an abortion or whatever. He would take care of anything she wanted to do, and she said, no, I want this baby. And I think deep down he did too, but he was worried. I mean, this would change everything for him.
You know, I think an important thing to mention here, because I don't know if people know the timeline. Now, your mother was born in October of 1919.
Right.
President Harding, he did not become President Harding until 1921. He did not win that election until November 1920. Your mother not only was born a year and a half, but, you know, obviously your grandmother knew she was pregnant for 9 months. You know, there was a good 2-year period before he ever became president, won the presidency, that your grandmother was carrying your mother and delivered your mother. In that period, President Harding or Senator Harding at that time, did he see her? Was there anything going on then?
Yes, they were together the whole time. When he died, he had just sent her to Paris. She was there going to school, my grandmother. And they were there, and that's how she found out about it there, when she was there. She read it on the paper when she was walking to a class or something.
Oh, President Harding sent her to Paris. I didn't hear about this.
No, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, he took care of her. He sent her money all the time. He was supporting her. And he actually found a place for her in New Rochelle with a midwife, and she stayed there, and that's where she stayed until she had the baby, and he took care of everything. And that's what I'm getting at. If you look at people or look at men that do this, he never walked away. He had planned on doing this, and he had told her that I'm going to figure out something so I can be, we can be together.
With the with the dirty business that Paul has always been. Obviously, as I say, Carrie Phillips and her husband were sent around the world because there was a fear that that would come back to bite him. What we know now is, in hindsight, he had a child walking around at that point when he was running for president. He had somebody else who he had had, your grandmother, a relationship with other than his wife at that point. And nobody ever figured that out. It's interesting that they got the Carrie Phillips thing and sent her out of the country, but nobody ever figured out your grandmother was having a similar relationship with him, just maybe not emotionally, but physically, and also the fact that this child was born. No media ever found that out. What do you make of that?
They didn't look, and it was there. They were together all the time. I mean, they were still together. They were still together. She was at the White House and everything.
What did she say of her times at the White? I mean, we've read the book, but what do we not know that was not in the book that she told you about the time that he was president, that she would go to the White House?
Yeah, she would go there quite often, and she had actually he had his Secret Service agent deliver her money. And because he was giving her money to live and to help with the baby and everything, and she was, and he would come and get her and take her there, and she knew him really well. Actually, he helped her out afterwards, and he tried to get her help from senators and congressmen and stuff to help her after he was gone. So they had a great relationship, she said. You know, he was a great guy and understood, see. So they just had, I mean, you can imagine what it must have been like, really. I mean, if you do that, I mean, it's interesting. And one of the things about it is that, and I ask people this, have you ever had an affair or whatever? Because if you haven't, you don't understand. But when you have an affair, especially when you're in kind of a dull and sad relationship to start with, It's you tell them everything. They become your go-to for everything, and you're upfront and honest with them, and tell them stuff you don't even tell your girlfriend or your wife. And that's why my grandmother knew so much. She knew everything that was going on and how he felt, and he had constantly told her about his fear of his wife doing something or whatever and stuff like that. So he that was a big concern of his.
Did your grandmother, I mean, I understand why she would not have wanted to go public, but did she ever tell you that she thought about going to the police, saying something?
No, she would never do that because she, you know, she trusted him and she felt that there was a future for them. I'm sure you know this, but when she went on that trip, he had told her, and you can backtrack all this and find this out, but he had told her that he was going to put her in the will for $50,000 and that he had already made plans for his attorney to meet him on the train. And now if you do some research, when I looked, it seemed to me like he did meet his attorney on the train. So, and see, this is the whole thing, like Peter said, $50,000, he gave everybody else $10,000, $20,000, he gave $25,000 to the city of Marion to do for parks and stuff like that, and he also requested in there that money not be spent on his any kind of a memorial or anything.
Now,
so
it is now with the Historical Society and now with where we are, is the documentary or the movie, is that still in the works now that
Not with the people that I started with, because I realized that there was more. They weren't what I thought they were, and they were actually kind of disappointing. And I realized that, you know, and I used to tell Peter this, that they're using me and I'm using them. I want the story out. I want to tell the story of my mother and my grandfather, my grandfather, my mother, and my grandmother, and my all of them. I want the story, the whole story out. I want people to see it. It's a wonderful story. It's got so many twists and turns, and it's just, it's a great love story, and the whole thing is, and it's a murder mystery. So there's so much to it, but it's just, that's what I wanted. And this, they, what happened, that's what I'm trying to say, is that they offered me an opportunity to do what I wanted to do and get a documentary done and everything. And that was my motivation for this. And I went on board because I want to know how he died. I mean, wouldn't you want to know? If you grew up and your grandmother was telling you all the time, oh, you know, your grandfather, we think he was murdered, but nobody wanted to look into it, nobody did anything about it. But for all these years, and all these years you grew up, that's all you heard, is that he was murdered. Wouldn't you want to do something about it? And that's kind of the promise I made myself and my mom and my grandmother, and that's what I wanted to do. So when my mom left, I felt this was a good time to do this, because now she would not have to deal with it and have to be bothered by it.
Jim, I want to do something here. I want to give you four names, and I just want you to give me one word to describe, in your opinion, these people. Just one word on these people. Starting with your mother, how would you describe her in one word?
Oh, exceptional.
Your grandmother, Nan Britton.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, she's... She, I can't describe her in one word. She, if people look at the story and find out about her, I don't know. We've talked. I don't know if we talked about this. You know that she wrote that book, and she took the money from that book, and it was about her having a child out of wedlock and trying to figure out how to take care of it and do this. And except the difference is that she was getting help from Harding, and then she was getting help from other people, and his sister was helping her, but she did for quite a while until her brother told her, "Don't do this anymore because this will hurt us, because it's showing that we realize that she's really the thing." That's what it was all about. They stopped her from helping her financially because it would ruin it for them. So they didn't want that to happen. But anyway, she did this, and then she opened up the Elizabeth Ann Guild, which was put together to help unwed mothers, to find them jobs, to help them in life, to take care of them, to help them take care of their child, and do all the things for them. And that's where she put the money into now, that business.
Now, your grandfather, Warren G. Harding, in one word.
Okay. A great guy.
Florence Harding.
A caring guy.
Florence Harding, his wife.
There's no word. I can't use them on the air. I just think that she was his demise, and I think that they had a horrible relationship.
And Jim,
and that's why he did what he did.
Jim, with the few minutes we have left, I want to get your comments on this, because you are the son of the president, who is from the city which I sit in right now. Just your thoughts. What did you make of, because I don't think we've talked about this, what did you make of the end of the last election, the Capitol riots, the impeachment? What have you made of the news cycle in the last couple months in Washington?
The news cycle?
Yeah, well, what have you made just of, what did you make of the riots that happened at the Capitol? What did you make of all that?
I don't know what to say, because you know where I stand. It's sad, but I don't think it. I don't trust the news at all, and I don't think anybody should. But I don't think it was what it was portrayed as being. So that's how I'm skeptical of everything now.
What do you make of? I mean, we obviously know that you are a supporter of former President Trump, but what do you make of the new President Biden?
I'll tell you what. I can sum this up for you. And somebody that might be listening will understand this. I just read, and I'll tell you about this sometime. I'll call you on the side. But I just read something in an email that someone, you know, he knows Harding, or he thinks he knows Harding, I should say that. But he went out and compared my grandfather to Biden. And all I can tell you is I'm telling him, don't do that again.
Well,
I don't see it at all.
Well, Jim, my goodness, our time always goes so fast. I can't wait for you to come back on again. We will definitely talk off the air very soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I always thank you for coming on, because I appreciate your candor and honesty, and I think we learn a lot every time you do. Thank you, Jim.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's been great.
Bye-bye. Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. Always a man who speaks his mind, and we all have to appreciate that. A great guest on this program. We're going to take a 10-minute break and come back with lots more on the station.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Listen to former star Jeffersons.